between a rock and a hard place. Now, that old saying is an absolutely accurate description of the plight of my next guest. And it's a great honour to welcome him to the program. Behruz Bukhani is a Kurdish journalist and novelist who fled his home in Iran because he was in danger. The timing of his journey was fateful, as he arrived on Christmas Island 4 days after the new policy came into effect, condemning him and 1,500 other asylum seekers to a life in purgatory on Manus Island. But Behruz has kept busy. He's been reporting from Manus for the Guardian newspaper. He's made a documentary from inside the detention centre on an iPhone, as well as finding the time to write a novel, which will be published later in the year. I welcome him to our little program via a dodgy phone line to Manus. Behruz, it's good to talk to you. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, it's okay. Thank you very much to invite me to this program. Thank you.
Perhaps you can tell the listener something of your own story about being a Kurdish journalist.
For a long time, 5 years ago, I had a problem with the Iranian government because for a long time I was working as a Kurdish cultural activist. In Iran, the language, the formal language is Persian language, and Iran is with 7 languages, but in Iran only there is a Persian language, there is a formal language. So what's happening in Iran is that in Kurdistan, in west of Iran, the new generation in Kurdistan, they have started to talk with their children in Persian language. So it was very dangerous because I and my colleagues, we were thinking that the Kurdish language is going to be more poor, and it's very important that we teach people that they learn Kurdish language and talk with their children in Kurdish language. So my main work in Iran was to work on this kind of thing, and I was trying to teach the kids and the young people to how to write in Kurdish language and how it's important that they keep their culture. So what did I do? I and some of my colleagues, we were working on a magazine called Veria in Ilam City. But actually, I was living in Tehran, the capital city, but I was working with my colleagues through email. So we were publishing some articles and stories about the Kurdish language, the Kurdish history, and the Kurdish music. So our work completely was cultural work. And then the SEPA agency, which is an intelligence service in Iran, they attacked our office and they arrested some of my colleagues. So what did I do? I was in Tehran, and when I hear that, I got information and I published it in a website based in a European country called Khabarnegaran Iran, which means Iranian reporter. That website is to protect journalists in Iran. So when I published that story, had a big reaction, and after that I went through some problems with the government. So it was dangerous for me to stay in Iran, and after that my colleagues, they sent them to court, and some of them they went to jail and some of them got released. So yeah, it was you know, when I left Iran, I had to leave Iran, so I couldn't stay in Iran.
When you decided to head in our direction, tell me about that journey.
Yeah, I went to Indonesia. I was there for about 4 months. Actually, I wanted to register in the UN, but the problem was that I was witness that Indonesian immigration police, they arrested some of the refugees. Several times I was witness, and they didn't ask them any questions, so, and they just deported them. So it was not safe. I didn't feel safe in Indonesia, and then I got in a boat and I went to Australia. But unfortunately, after 2 days, our boat sunk, and I was sunk in the ocean. Then a ship was there, some fishermen, and they took me from the water, and then they delivered me to police. So then they sent me to a jail. I was in a jail for a night, then I escaped and I went to Jakarta, the capital city. And after 2 weeks, I started another journey and I went to Australia, but unfortunately our boat got lost. And what supposed that I arrived to Australia on 18 July, exactly a day before 19 July. Certainly we didn't know about 19 July law. When we arrived in Australia on 23 July, we found out that Australia just 3 days ago, 4 days ago, they put a new law and they said you must go to PNG and live in Manus forever. So I was in Christmas Island for about a month. Then they exiled me to Manusana. So I am here for 5 years.
You arrive on Manus with 1,500 other men, and it was a hellhole for the first 6 months because the accommodation wasn't finished, and many refugees left during this period.
Yeah, when I arrived in Manus, you know, they were sending people each week. They sent some people to Manus, and we were about 1,500 people. And after 6 months, many people went back to their country because the situation was very harsh. So most of them we were hungry, we were, you know, that the place was very dirty, were very crowded, and it was really hard, very hard condition. And so special on 6 months. But when the Reza Barati died, killed by the local people and some Australian and New Zealander officers, when he died, they stopped to send people to Manus Island. But what happened, some people remained in Christmas Island. So after Reza Barati died, they sent them to Australia. So some of the refugees who were with us and we were in our boat, we were boat mates, they already went to Australia. So they are living in Australia for
It's important for the listener to understand that those people still on Manus really don't want to come to Australia anymore. We haven't made them feel at all welcome. Most would rather go somewhere else like New Zealand.
Yeah, you know, we already published some letters that we do not, we are not going to go to Australia. Just our request is that from the immigration is that let us go. So New Zealand or America or other countries, just let us go. But unfortunately, the government, many times they rejected the New Zealand offer. So still we are here and we are living in limbo. So some people, they are saying that why you don't go back to your country. So I want to say that it is impossible for us to go back because we had certainly, I myself and other refugees, we had very strong reasons to come, to went through this very horrific journey and indoor situation like this for 5 years. So after five years, we have suffered a lot. We have experienced many kind of torture. So we cannot go back.
Look, the listeners fully understand your plight, Beyrouz. It is appalling. What about the American deal? Does that offer you any future?
Yeah, American deal, I think, in the first day that the government announced, it was about 2 years ago. But what happened after 2 years? Just about 65 people from Manu went to America, and also we hear some very bad news yesterday because the America and official sources, they rejected many Iranian people and Somali people. So those people are from the banned countries that Trump already announced. So it means that America is not going to take the Iranian people, the Somali people, and the Iraqi people. So what will happen in future if America takes the refugees? Still, about 500 people will remain in Manus and Nauru. So, but the government doesn't have any plan for that. So, yeah.
I remember how you opposed the closing of the detention centre in November. Are there any limitations on your movement around town? For you, the real torture of life on Manus is, of course, uncertainty. But what's happening right now?
They took us by force to the new camp. So we were living in a place that was really a prison. So we can't say that we were living in a prison for 4.5 years. So on past 5 years that they transferred us to the community, they sent us to 3 different camps, Hillside, West House, and East Sorongo camp. So we are living in a different place. And we had some very bad experience with the local people because some of them, they attacked the refugees. I am not going to blame the local people because, they are kind people and many of them, they are welcome to the refugees. But the problem is that it's very complicated and it's really hard to describe is that the Lorongo town is a very small town. So this place doesn't have the capacity to accept 600 people. So that's why, we have some problem with the locals. So still people are waiting for America. So our situation generally is that we are living in limbo. So, and also, most of the refugees, they don't go out. So they are living in the camps, and they don't go out because, they don't want to make any problem. So, we are living with the local people right now.
I'm talking to Beyrouz Boukhani, and I should explain to you listeners about the film, the documentary he made on an iPhone when he was in a detention centre. It's been shown at many international festivals, and it's called Shauka. And Shauka is the official bird of Manus Island, which apparently sings at the same time every day. So people on the island use it as a clock, but it's also the name of the prison within the detention centre where people were sent for punishment and isolation. Our heart goes out to you, Behrouz, and we shall hope for your future, the next 5 years, will be far happier for you than the last. Behrouz Boukhani, author, documentary maker, journalist and refugee trapped on Manus Island. And you can read his articles in The Guardian, or you can now watch his documentary on Vimeo. And we will put a link up to that.